Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc., Wednesday, May the 1st. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith will be with us momentarily, just waiting for his computer to update. And back with us on the show for a second time as a special guest with us. Did a great job with us the first time he was on, from Sweden, Eric Delarose, back with us again. Eric, it's good to have you back on the show. How are things going in lovely Sweden for you?
Thanks for having me. It's been good. I just finished my season as a coach, so now it's a couple of months break from the ice, but the off season is starting soon, so yeah, a little break from hockey, but can watch some playoffs from all around the world, like all the European leagues are finishing now, but the NHL has just started, so yeah.
Yeah, no
it's,
doubt.
It's good.
Yeah, you get to watch all those European leagues. I mean, DEL in Germany, Swedish Elite League, Swiss League. I mean, all these leagues in Europe, you're right, their seasons are wrapping up. We're talking, you know, semifinals and championships being decided, you know, in all of these leagues that take place in Europe. The NHL and AHL and ECHL, Eric, over here in North America, they always wrap up later, obviously, than Europe. They go right into June. So there's still lots of time left there, but you're right, the European hockey season is winding down. We were talking off the air that you've been busy the last few weeks, if not few months, with coaching. Talk about that experience. It sounded like you enjoyed it and it went well for you.
Yeah, it was my first season coaching the under 16 team here in my hometown. So, yeah, it was a really great experience. I've missed hockey since I put the skates away, so really good to be in that environment again for me, I think, and yeah, just enjoyed the whole season and got to wrap it up as the Norwegian champion after the season, so that was really nice.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think someone has tried to say something to you in Swedish in our chat here. Nick, am I right? Is that
yeah.
True?
Yeah, that is, you're looking good.
All right, well, there we go. Well done, Nick. Bravo. Showing off a little Swedish language knowledge. I like it. There's no doubt. I like it. Good stuff, Nick. Well done. You came prepared for this show, like the host. No, I'm kidding. Nevertheless, so talk about the playoffs so far. Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll talk about last night's games in depth, recap the four games last night in particular, but just a broad view of the Stanley Cup playoffs in general, Eric. What have you thought? What's your takeaways so far? Things that have stuck out to you in the Stanley Cup playoffs from what we've seen so far?
Things that have stuck out, I think the Rangers looking pretty good, but played maybe against the worst team of the 16 teams that went to the playoffs.
I was going to say, the first part of what you just said there was going to make John Massey, one of our favorite guests and friends of the show, who's a big Ranger fan, very happy to saying that.
Yeah, but I like, even if the Caps were not the best, I think the Rangers look really good. They just need to get, like, if they get Panarin going, I think they can go all the way this year. But he's not like a type of playoff player, I think. So we'll wait to see. He scored a lot of goals this year, so maybe he can keep that production up in the playoffs. But there's a little bit different game in the playoffs. So, yeah, we'll see. Other teams looking good. I think the best series so far is the one we're going to talk about later, the Vegas Stars series. Two really good teams battling out. Yep.
The only series to get to game six. Well, and actually shouldn't say that. Boston-Toronto is going to game six now. But the only series 2-2 after the first four games. Every other series was either a sweep or 3-1.
Yeah. I think the Preds series should have been 2-2, but they just throw that fourth game away by like a really bad end of the game. Like I said, that series has been really fun to watch, and I think like a lot of people are rooting for the Stars to win that series because of the Golden Knights salary cap magic won't see again. So
there's a lot of people pissed with Vegas, sick of them. So get the fuck out of the playoffs, right?
Yeah. So real. Yeah. And today we're gonna see like the two starting goalies as well. But I think like Thompson played a good game last game, even if they lost it. So yeah. But the teams are like two really good teams that are like, they get a lot of chances, and even if they're playing against a good defensive team. So, two really good hockey teams overall.
No doubt. I'm looking forward to this Dallas-Vegas. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. That's funny. You mentioned that what Nick said in the chat in Swedish was looking good, and he says, went to Sweden and told all the girls that. That's very good. Good stuff, Nick. That's hilarious. Good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, how good was that Leafs-Bruins game last night? Excellent game. I know there was only three goals. It was 1-1. I mean, credit to Alex. He cashed the first period over, 1.5. 1-1 after the first period, and there were no goals in regulation time after that. It went to overtime 1-1. Great battle. And we just wanted to see a pulse from the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, we just wanted to see them, you know, show some backbone, show some fight, show some desire. Don't go and with your tail between your legs and go out that way meekly, quietly into the night. After what we saw in game four, it's like, do these guys even want to win? Like, the effort was just so subpar, Eric, for Stanley Cup playoff hockey from Toronto in game four. But everybody was on board last night. The effort was strong, hard on pucks, carrying play in the offensive zone, outshot, outchanced Boston heavily. Everyone stepped up, everyone. Defensemen, forwards, without Austin Matthews, who of course couldn't play last night. Joseph Woll in net. He was a brick wall for the Toronto Maple Leafs last night. He was outstanding. Sheldon Keefe looks like a genius for going with him in game five last night, and he played great. He wasn't as busy, Eric, as Jeremy Swayman was for Boston, but sometimes those are even tougher games for goaltenders where the other guy is getting peppered with shots, but you don't face as many. But the shots you do face, they're quality chances, they're dangerous chances, and Joe Woll had to face a bunch of them, and he made big save after big save when that game was 1-1 on Trent Frederick in the third period with the stretch save with the pad, the great save early in overtime on Charlie Coyle to keep it going. And then, of course, just barely a minute or so later, 2 minutes later, Toronto wins it in overtime. Tavares takes it hard to the net. Matthew Nyes cleans it up and buries it past Swayman for the overtime winner. And credit to Toronto. Backs against the wall. It was a complete team effort, both ends of the ice. They got the goal, the key saves finally they needed. And for once, you know, he got the extra save. The Toronto goalie got the extra save as opposed to Jeremy Swayman to win the game. And look, there's at least a glimmer of hope for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But here's the problem. Now they go back home to game six. They've got Boston's attention now, I'm sure, after Boston failed to close it out at home. But the Leafs have lost six straight home playoff games. Scotiabank Arena is a morgue. It's a wine and cheese crowd. They just don't give that team the energy they should in the playoffs. And that's a big noose around their neck that they're going to have to overcome. They've got to find a way to snap that home losing streak in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll have to wait and see if Matthews returns as well in game six. But and they're 0-2 in this series, obviously, at home Toronto. So we'll see how it goes in game six. But you're right, Nick. I actually predicted that before game five. I said, everyone counting the Leafs out, this is usually when the Leafs win and step up. They did. They'll probably actually snap the home losing. I shouldn't say should. It wouldn't surprise me if they finally snap the home losing streak and win game six on Thursday night and force game seven. And then they'll lose game seven. That's what they'll do. That's what this franchise does for 57 years of failure. They bring you back in when it looks like there's no hope, and then they just rip your heart out all over again. So to lose in game seven for Toronto would be, I wouldn't be shocked by that. In fact, that's probably what I think is going to happen. Boston will flirt with blowing it like they did last year against Florida when they were up 3-1 and they lost the series in seven. They'll flirt with doing that again, but the Leafs will break hearts in game seven possibly again. That's kind of how I see it going. But maybe it's written in the stars. The Leafs have a miracle comeback in them, and Boston will, you know, blow a lead again. But if you ask me how's this series going to end, I say Toronto wins tomorrow, Boston wins game seven, if I had to pick. Eric, what did you think there, Leafs-Bruins?
Yeah, last night's game were a really good game from the Leafs. Like, the guys stepped up really well, like all the guys that got some extra ice when Matthews is not playing. So, I don't, it's not like Matthews is a problem, but sometimes when a guy that, like, the best player is not playing, some other guys needs to step up, and I think they really did that. And but I don't think like we should call Sheldon Keefe a genius yet, because I think he looked
Leaf
really
fans will agree.
I think he looked really stupid after that fourth game on that press conference when he said that like the effort was good and like that the guys were like playing hard, and yeah, it looked like
he's just not he's just trying not to burn bridges. He can't truly believe that.
No,
was in a good like, effort in game four.
But like, imagine another coach sitting in that position, like let's say Tortorella or someone, they would never like say anything like that. I think he's the like wrong guy for coaching those kinds of players. He has too many stars, and I think they have probably too much power in that locker room. That's what I can read from that press conference, that he's not like saying that guys should step up and take responsibility. But yeah, last game, really good. I think that clip that we've seen the whole day, like from Pontus Holmberg and Marchand when they both got off, but maybe Marchand should not get a penalty there, but that shows like the I think that
credit
shows
to
like
Pontus
Holmberg.
He didn't back down.
Yeah, really good. Like he takes the face off and is getting his face the whole shift and throws him around a little bit and he gets thrown around. So yeah, really good. I think the guys on the bench and on the ice are loving that. And when it's against Marchand, they're loving it even more.
Well, we have intrigue. That's the bottom line. And you can see in the chat, a lot of people thinking, oh, Leafs will win tomorrow night. No, Boston will end it. Toronto can't win at home. People saying it'll go to seven and then the Bruins will win and the Leafs will rip your heart, because that's what I think happens. But then there's some people that say the Leafs maybe have the magic to come all the way back and win. And, you know, and we did see Boston blow a 3-1 lead and lose last year. Now the seed of doubt's been planted a little bit in the Bruins. And it was a very quiet night. Like Marchand finally had a night where he was pretty quiet. Pasternak, same thing. Quiet from the top guys for Boston. So that's going to have to change moving forward in game six on Thursday night. As we talked about, Carolina wrapped things up. Not easy, though. Wow, the Islanders didn't go away. I mean, Carolina pounces on the Islanders early. 2-0 lead. They end up, it ends up being 3-1 Carolina after the first because Kuznetsov, who takes like 3 days to get through his shootout attempts. And that's how long it took him to finally get that shootout attempt going. Kuznetsov takes him forever. And it ended up, it was a great shot, 3-1. And all of a sudden, here's the Islanders. They make it 3-2, and they score a late one. That was the one bad moment in the whole playoff series for Freddie Anderson. I don't know what he was doing. He ran himself right out of the net, right out of the cage, and it was a wide-open net for Casey Cizikas, who, by the way, had a big plus 650. Finally cashed in with Casey Cizikas to score a goal. Top line, Eric, at plus 650. And I've been betting it over and over again, and had not won yet in this series until last night. I'm like, I'm sticking with the guy. He's, you know, because he's on the top line. He's getting a great price at plus 650, and he finally came through. 3-3 it was going to the third, and then all of a sudden, those two goals in the third period, bang, bang, horrible misplay of the puck by Varlamov, ends up costing Carolina after it was 4-3, and then the 5-3 goal just felt like a backbreaker. And it was. Credit, though, to the Hurricanes. The Islanders put up a good battle. You can't say they laid down and died. They just weren't good enough. They were the second-best team in this series from start to finish. Carolina was better, and it was felt like most of the series, especially once it got to 3-0, it was going to be a question of when, not if, Carolina wraps it up. But they do wrap it up last night in Game 5 to set up a Rangers-Hurricanes series that should be a hell of a series. Think about the storylines we're going to have in that series. You've got Brady Shea, Vincent Trocheck, and Tony DeAngelo all playing for against their former team in that series. You've got Peter Laviolette, who is going to be going head to head with Rod Brind'Amour, coaching adversaries when those two were head coach and captain together in 2006, winning a Stanley Cup with Carolina. Laviolette and Brind'Amour. That's going to be a ton of fun. On Twitter, I posted a picture of Laviolette and Brind'Amour together at the White House when the White House, the president had the, I think it was the president would have been, probably would have been George W. Bush at the time, I would think, 2006. Yeah, when the president had the Hurricanes there for the Stanley Cup championship ceremony. And there's Brind'Amour and Laviolette together at the White House in 2006 when the president hosted the Hurricanes there. And now here they are, 18 years later, head coaches against one another in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that's going to be a fun storyline in Rangers Hurricanes. And that series is going to be so good. It's so tight. Both teams, you know, are really playing well going into it. I'm looking forward to it. So Eric, talk about the Canes wrapping it up against the Islanders and also a little bit looking forward to Rangers Hurricanes.
Yeah. Like you said, for the Islanders, they put up a really good fight. I think they played good, and I think they made like huge steps since Raw got in on the bench, and they got to the playoffs and put up a good fight against a great team. But maybe like we discussed a little bit before the show, Hurricanes gave up a little bit more than what we expected before the series started, but maybe it was because the Islanders were that good. So it's going to be fun to see, like someone said in the chat there, I think it was Matt, that said that Rangers has been playing against a worse
Matt
team
was, by
than
the
Carolina.
Way, the guy that you were on the show with last time.
Matt,
no. You and me. And there he is. There's that comment from Matt there. Rangers in trouble game one, I think, playing a Czech B team the last four games. Talking about Washington, of course, and now playing Carolina, yeah.
Yeah, so, we're going to see what happens in that game one, but maybe they can. Carolina has been playing like some tougher games, even if they win it 4-1. I think almost every game has been pretty tight. Maybe the first game was a little bit more dominant by the Hurricanes, but after that, I think it's been like chances back and forth in both ends. So, yeah. But it's going to be a really fun series between the Rangers and Hurricanes. I think the winner of that series is going to come out pretty strong in the conference final, for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a great series. I definitely am already thinking about the 6-7 game series prop, you know, in that Carolina Rangers series, because I think it's going to be a long series. You're going to, again, just the similar approach with Boston and Toronto, where you take, you know, 6 games and 7 games individually, bet them individually. Both of them are at plus money. So if one of them hits and one of them wins, you're profitable. You make money. So that's the approach probably for me with Rangers Hurricanes. Bet 6 games, 7 games, and if one of them hits, you're profitable. It's what worked for me with Toronto and Alex with Toronto Boston. We bet 6 games and 7 games that series, and now it's going to go 6 games minimum. So, you know, we're going to be profitable, you know, hitting one of the two. Either the series goes 6 or series goes 7. So that's probably the approach I'm going to take with the Rangers and the Hurricanes as well. But that should be a good one. The Hurricanes advance. And by the way, shout out to Matt Robinson for the bargain bin special. He had Stefan Nason. The streak continues. This is uncanny. Stefan Nason for the Carolina Hurricanes. We might have even mentioned this when Eric was on the show with Matt and I the last time. I don't know if Carolina played, but Stefan Nason seems to score a goal for Carolina on days when Matt Robinson is on the show. It's uncanny. And it happened again last night. And he used it as his bargain bin special of the night. So Matt and Matt, the Shane, Stefan Nason magic happens again. With Matt on the show, of course, yesterday with us. Crazy how it works like that. Also last night, Winnipeg, we say goodbye to them. Colorado, just too good, too deep, too strong, too potent, not good enough defensively, not good enough in goal. Connor Hellebuck. I think if there's a top three or top five list, Eric, for the single most disappointing player performance in the first round of the playoffs, it's got to be Connor Hellebuck. He's up there. Just for a guy with all the accolades of success and generally thought of to be one of the best goalies in the NHL, at least in the regular season, and for him to have that much of a struggle and that much of a subpar series start to finish, very disappointing, you know. And look, Winnipeg's special teams got destroyed. Colorado's power play lit up the Winnipeg Jets over and over again. The Jets' own power play wasn't good enough in that series. And the Avs are just, you know, seem to be in that. I agree about with what Cheshire Cat's saying a little bit. The Jets don't completely suck. That's a solid, good hockey team. But Colorado just turned it up to another level, especially offensively, especially with the man advantage. And Winnipeg just couldn't match it. And I noticed Rick Bonus did not. Remember last year when his team lost to Vegas in the first round, 4-1, he ripped them saying, "I'm disgusted right now. With this team so disgusted, so, you know, upset right now. No pushback. He probably said that like 10 times last year after they got knocked out in the first round. He didn't take that approach this year. Much more calm, much more, you know what, credit to Colorado. They played very, very well, and they got the better of us. But big offseason now for Winnipeg. They've got some decisions to make because this is disappointing. This is 2 years in a row. You're out in the first round. You thought you had a team that could make a run this year, and to be bounced in the first round, what happens to Rick Bonus? What happens to some of the core players? We got to have that discussion again. Can you win a Stanley Cup with Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor and Nikolai Ehlers and Josh Morrissey, you know, who didn't have a great series, quite honestly. He had a nice goal last night, but overall for the series, I don't think Josh Morrissey played great. So, you know, and Connor Hellebuck, is this a guy you can win a Stanley Cup with? Because he's now had multiple disappointing playoff seasons for the Winnipeg Jets. Hard decisions need to be made. As for Colorado, Eric, give them a little defense. Just play a little defense. Just don't let in the really bad goal if you're Alexander Georgiev moving forward. And there's no reason they can't beat anybody in the West that's still standing. But they are going to have to. We are going to have to watch this defense and goaltending for Colorado because it's for they got by Winnipeg, but they're going to have to ramp it up and be even better. D has to be better. Georgiev has to be better, even better in the next series and beyond if they're going to get to a Stanley Cup final. But Colorado advances. Eric, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed by the Winnipeg, but like you said, Avs looking really good. Like Makar is back in prime form, and McKinnon is, yeah, he's been looking good the whole all year. Rantanen is good. Lekkonen is scoring every game like he's doing in the playoffs. So yeah, and Nikushkin is like the tallest man in front of the net, and the goalies cannot see any shots from the power play. So yeah, I think offensively really good Avalanche team. And they had a power play worked good against the Jets. For my like point of being disappointed in Jets, like Rick Bowness did not say like he was that disappointed like it was last year, but I think they had a little bit of a bad approach to that series. Like they were switching chances with Colorado, and like I say to my players when we play against a good team, if we're gonna do that, the team with the best like individual players is probably gonna win, or the goalie that is more hot. So
can't trade chances, can't play wide open style. Team's got superior offensive talent. That's right.
Yeah, and I think Winnipeg like did a little bit of that in that series, and so I think he should take a little bit of blame. I think they should have played a more like defensive, tighter game and helped Hellebuck a little bit more. But yeah. It's hard to stop MacKinnon and Makar when they were that good.
So especially when Makar decides to have those Bobby Orr moments when he turns on the Jets.
Yeah.
End to end and rips the top shelf, top cheese. Yeah.
Yeah. When he's going coast to coast. And maybe that wasn't the best, the best moment for Hellebuck on that goal. I think he should have that. But
That's everyone that said he should have had that. We had Carter Hutton, longtime NHL goalie, on the BetCast. By the way, the BetCast was awesome last night. I haven't brought it up yet. I should have at the open, but great BetCast last night. Lots of fun. Carter Hutton joined us as our special guest. Surprised everyone because I didn't say anything about it before the BetCast started. So our Patreon members that were part of the BetCast, we thank you. Carter Hutton joined us on the BetCast last night, and he stayed for like 2 hours. And he's just talking hockey, and he's talking goalies in particular because he really watches the goalies. He used to play the position, and he said about Carter Hutton, Carter Hutton said about Hellebuck that he should have had that Makar goal, and definitely was one he should have stopped. So everyone that I've talked to has said that Makar goal in game 4 in Colorado, like Hellebuck's got to have that one.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to have that one. I think the other goals are like, it's okay to let him in. But like I said, I think they giving up too many like good chances for a good team that is that good offensively. I think if they take another game and they keep playing like that, eventually they're going to lose the series.
Here's a funny thing, Eric. Do you know Matt Robinson we did the show with him last time. He scored a goal against Connor Hellebuck in the past. Yeah. In junior. It was like the NAHL. They call it the North American Hockey League, the junior. It's a junior league in the States. And he apparently, his team was playing a team that with Connor Hellebuck in net. And our very own Matt Robinson, one of his claims to fame in his prolific hockey career and his prolific hockey past, scoring a goal against Connor Hellebuck. So, I'd brag about that. I'd say shit about that too.
He has a Vezina, right? Hellebuck.
Yes. Yeah.
Then me and Matt has one thing in common, that we scored against a Vezina trophy winner.
There you go. Who did you do yours against?
Ullmark.
Linus. Oh, Linus Ullmark. Very good. Yeah.
Played against him in Sweden.
I just want to verify that Connor Hellebuck did win a Vezina. I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, I think he won one.
2020. Yep.
Yeah.
2020. He won one. Yeah. Pretty sure of that. Yeah. So there you go. We've got Eric Delarose scored a goal against a Vezina Trophy goalie in Linus Ullmark. Matt Robinson scores a goal in his past against a Vezina Trophy winner and Connor Hellebuck. We are not worthy. I'm telling you. We are not at all worthy to be in the presence of this greatness right here. No question. Great stuff. That is great, though. Like I said, in all seriousness, that's something I would tell my buddies or someone that I'm just meeting in a bar talking hockey. If I told them I played the game, I'd throw that out there. You know, I scored a goal against Connor Hellebuck, right? You know, I scored a goal against Linus Ullmark, right? Vezina Trophy winner. Yeah. Badge of honor.
Yeah, for sure.
No, definitely. All right, last game of the Wednesday night, or Tuesday night, I should say, Nashville-Vancouver. Credit to Nashville. I was worried about them mentally after that just horrible, crushing, heartbreaking, gut-wrenching loss against Vancouver in game four in Nashville. They have a 3-1 lead. They cough it up. Hat trick for Besser. It ends up being a 4-3 overtime win with Elias Lindholm putting it away. But Nashville, great resilience. They played a solid road game, and it helps, too, that UC Saros was spectacular. I thought as the game went on, Vancouver was really generating a lot of quality chances, and he shut the door. He made great save after great save. And there's nothing wrong with Shelovs on the other end. He couldn't have done much about the goals that went in. It was just a very, very well-played game, goaltending-wise, at both ends, and Nashville just got one extra goal to go in, one extra puck to go in that Vancouver couldn't. And so Nashville gets the job done, forces a game six back in Music City, where they are 0-2, though, Nashville, at home against Vancouver in this series. Vancouver took both games in Nashville. So it's not like Vancouver can't go to Nashville and finish this series off. But something tells me, Eric, it's going to be more difficult trying to end the series in Nashville this time, or win again in Nashville, I should say, this time, than winning game three and four in Nashville. And talk about, by the way, not just that game last night, talk about your personal connection and friendship with Philip Forsberg for everyone that maybe didn't hear it on last time.
Yeah, this has actually been the series that I've watched the most, and I've lost the
it
most
helps
money.
When you have a good buddy in it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I played with Philip Forsberg for 4 years, and we were like roommates on the road and everything. So yeah, we still have like talk with each other, and he's gonna be a dad now in the next couple of weeks, actually.
Wow!
And had like a career.
Will
high.
He'll be playing at the time is the question. Yeah.
Yeah. If they move on to the next round, he will be playing. But yeah, I think they're gonna have it like they can probably plan it. It's not gonna be like. They can plan it when they have some home games, so he doesn't miss any games. But yeah, it's going to be really fun for him. I went to his wedding last summer with his girlfriend is from USA, but they had a wedding here in France. So yeah, that was
no doubt.
Really
nice. I was just about to say that Eric's good buddy Philip Forsberg, one of the best stashes in the NHL right now.
Yeah,
that is
for sure.
Quality lip sweater that he has going on right now. Yeah,
I think him and Stuart Skinner has the best sashes in the league at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. That's a quality lip sweater. That
for that series, I think Nashville is like pretty unlucky to like go back to Vancouver with a 3-1 deficit. I think they've been playing pretty good, but like the thing with the Nashville is like they are really they have one top line that's scoring 5-on-5, and the other, if they get some from the others, it's pretty much a bonus for them. So I'm not seeing a deep run from Nashville, but I think they made some good like moves this season. Barry Trotz came in and clean up, and it's been I think it's a positive vibe going on in Nashville. I talked to Philip last summer when they traded away Duchesne and everything, like he blew up the whole team almost, but he said that he was confident that Trotz were doing the right thing, and like that they were rebuilding a little bit slowly. They still have some great players like with Josie and Forsberg, and when they get a player like O'Reilly in there, that I think is maybe one of the most underrated players in the whole league.
Especially at this time of year.
Yeah. Maybe they didn't have the best time last year in Toronto, I think, but maybe maybe as we see this year as well, Toronto is not like the place to be when there's a playoff going on. But
a beautiful city. It's actually a tremendous city. It's not just a great Canadian city. I think you can put it on the map as one of the better cities around the world, as far as, and it is nice, especially in the summer. Maybe not in the winter when it's cold, but in the summer when it's hot and the weather's nice. I mean, Toronto's a beautiful city. Problem is, if you players don't want to go there, I think, at times because there's taxes and lack of sports success across the board. There's only been one major championship for Toronto sports, you know, the last 20, 30 years, and it's been the Toronto Raptors in NBA basketball a few years ago. That's it. But, you know, the Leafs have struggled. Blue Jays haven't won a championship in 30 years. So it's been tough. It's been tough. Tough sledding.
Yeah. But Nashville, like you said, I think they're going to win this game six. I think they're not losing three games in a row in Bridgestone Arena. They usually are a good home team. So, yeah. And that game four was, just a nightmare for them. They should have won that game. And so I think they're going to go back and please the fans a little bit with a win. And for game seven, anything can happen in that series, I think. I think Vancouver is one of the weakest like first seed teams that we've seen in a long time in the playoffs. I don't really like their team, if I'm being honest. I think the like JT Miller, really good player and a playoff player, but for the rest of the like lineup, I don't see them like winning anything with that team, really. Now when Demko is injured as well, a lot of pressure is gonna be on the Smith. But I think Sherlow has been really good when he's coming in both games he's been playing.
I think you gotta stick
really with solid. I think for sure. I think it was good last night as well.
Yeah,
like really good saves.
Yep.
From open chances. And the goals is like not his fault at all. Like the first goal, they can maybe even challenge, and it will not be a goal. But
But they decided it was too risky.
But and the second one is a good screen by O'Reilly, so he can see the shot. So fun series for sure.
And it's going to get more fun because we got another game, maybe even two.
Yeah.
In this Nashville Vancouver series, but obviously a little seed of doubt now for the Canucks. We'll see if they can persevere through it, because you know Nashville at home, they're not going to want to. It's hard to beat a team in a series, three straight games in their building. You know, Boston's going to try to do it against Toronto, and now Vancouver's going to try to do it against Nashville to win three road games, you know, in one series. So it's not easy to do that. So we'll see if they can finish it. But I mean, as far as the Bessers had a great game, even though they lost last night, he was all over the front of the net, had many chances. Stoned multiple. Yeah. Staros was great. It was a great night for UC Staros. He was tremendous, especially in the third period. But we're still waiting on someone to join the party here, the playoff party for Vancouver. And Rich H, who's our great friend of the show, fan of the show, Vancouver Canucks fan from Vancouver, asking thoughts on Pedersen. You're a countryman, fellow Swede, and all I have to say is, I don't know. I hope he's injured. I don't want to say I hope he's injured, but I hope that's part of the reason why he's playing like this. Because if he's not injured, and this is just him playing like this, this is tough, especially when you just gave him the bag, especially when you just gave him the big bucks, the big money. He has not had a good series, not even close to the standard and the level that Elias Pettersson is capable of for the Vancouver Canucks. So that's the question mark now, is what can they get this guy going? Because so far he is still stuck in neutral for this team.
Yeah, I agree. He's not been good in this series. And I'm a little
careless
bit...
careless giveaways in the puck too, which is just so uncharacteristic of him.
Yeah, and I really... I'm a little bit surprised because... like when he was in Sweden, he was the MVP of the playoffs. So it was really good playoff. And I think if I remember right, that the COVID playoffs, when Canucks went pretty far, they beat the Blues. And
they gave Vegas everything they could handle.
Yeah, yeah. I think he had a good playoffs then, if I remember right.
Yep.
But really uncharacteristic from him, like that he's losing pucks, and he's not like, it doesn't feel that dangerous that he does when he have his like A game, that he can score like from everything because he has such a good shot. But is not like coming to, is not getting those chances. So yeah, I'm not really, maybe shake some things up in the lines. I think the Miller, Besser, and who's the third guy in that line? It's Pugh Suter.
I think it is Pugh. I think it's Suter. Yeah. Suter. Yeah, Suter. And let me see. Suter, Miller, Besser. Yep.
Yeah, that line is working for sure. Like, they've been carrying this team now, this first round against Nashville. But the other lines is not, like, being that good. I think, actually, the Garland, Lindholm, and who's the third guy there? It's the Joshua Dakota. Dakota Joshua. Yeah, Joshua. Dak. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That line has been like a surprise for me, actually, in this series. Like, they've been pretty solid. They scored a winning goal in game four, and I think they generated some good chances last night as well. So, but that line with Pedersen is not working. So, yeah, maybe they should try something there and to get him going, because they need him if they're going to have a deep run. So, yeah.
No doubt. They need him to get going. You're right. If they do survive Nashville, they need more out of a movement. When they play Edmonton, if you're going to get jack shit out of Elias Pettersson, you're in trouble against a team like Edmonton, because that's who you'd play likely in the next round of the playoffs. So he's got to get going, and hopefully he can for this Vancouver Canuck.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Team. All right, we're going to get going on to Wednesday's NHL slate. We have two games tonight on tap, and we will begin with game five in the West between the Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas Stars. Dallas minus 150, home favorites, 5.5 the total. Series now tied 2-2. The road team has won every game here in this series. We'll see if that trend continues here tonight. But Dallas does have some serious momentum on their side after two big wins in Vegas. And for Vegas to get the momentum back, you know, they're going to need a strong start tonight. We will see if they can deliver that kind of a start to the game here tonight against Dallas, because I think Dallas has gotten stronger as the series has gone on. I think if you go period by period, Eric, in this series, Dallas has won more individual periods. Game one, even though they lost, thought they were the better team for much of game one. Game two, Vegas was legitimately the better team and won. So we can't complain about that. Vegas did have the better of it in game two. Obviously, game three was dominated by Dallas outside of the third period, where you could make an argument Vegas had a bit of an edge. But first period was total domination Dallas. Second period, total domination Dallas. Overtime, total domination Dallas. And eventually they won it on the Wyatt Johnston game winner. And then in game four, look, Vegas had probably the better of it in the first period, but I thought Dallas got better, you know, as the game. Certainly, I think had a better second period. You know, Vegas really pushed hard in the third, but key shot blocks, key saves by Jake Oettinger allowed Dallas to get the win in game four and tie up the series. The big headlines here are for Vegas on their side, because we're seeing a lot of blenders. The blender is out, you know, and the lines are being juggled here by Bruce Cassidy tonight going into game five. Barbashev has been with Eichel and Marcia, so Barbashev hasn't done a whole lot offensively. He's down all the way to the fourth line tonight with Nick Waugh and Will Carrier. Up to the top line, Tomas Hertl with Jack Eichel and Jonathan Marchessault. So it's kind of a sense of Bruce trying to load up the top line here tonight for Vegas, putting Tomas Hertl with Jack Eichel and Jonathan Marchessault. We have Pavel Dorofeev with Chandler Stephenson and Mark Stone on the second line, making his series debut tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights. He did not play in the first four games of this series, Pavel Dorofeev. And if you remember, down the stretch of the regular season for the Golden Knights, he was playing quite well offensively, you know. And for the season, he had 13 goals, 11 assists in a total of 47 games. I think he's looking for more finish. I think he's looking for more offense here. Bruce Cassidy making the move like this, loading up the top line by putting Hurdle on it, putting Dorofeev in the lineup on the second line with Chandler Stephenson and Mark Stone. And then you've got Howden, Carlson, and Amadio still together on the third line. And like I said, Barbashev's been dropped to the fourth line. So those are the changes there. Although Carlson, you're right, while Bill is he a game time decision? I think he's in. It looks like the updated lineup, Rich, has him in. But obviously we'll have to confirm right before puck drop. Nick Hague has missed, obviously, the last few games in this series. We'll see if he's back tonight. I'm not so sure he will be. So we could be looking at, and by the way, there's also a change on the blue line. This is interesting because this guy was very good last year and really, really good in the playoffs. But Zach Whitecloud looks like he might be the odd man out for Vegas on the blue line tonight. He looks like he's going to be a healthy scratch. And in comes Ben Hutton on the defense for Vegas on that third pair with Anafin, Theodore McNabb, Petrangelo Martinez. Looks like it's going to be the top pairings here tonight on the defense for the Vegas Golden Knights. And the big news is that Logan Thompson will not play tonight. A goalie change for the Vegas Golden Knights. And for the first time in this series, they're going back to the man that was just spectacular for them in the playoffs last year in the run to winning the Stanley Cup, Aiden Hill, who did not have a great regular season this year, but we do know what he did at playoff time last year. So I think Bruce Cassidy's saying, you know what? Logan Thompson's not our issue. He's not the main reason we lost the last two games, but we want to change the momentum. We want to create a spark. And we know this guy was absolutely tremendous for the Vegas Golden Knights in the run to the Stanley Cup last year. So he's rolling the dice a bit. He's rolling the dice, Eric, saying, I think we can get the Aiden Hill from last year in the playoffs back again. Not the Aiden Hill we saw much of the regular season, who, look, does not have great numbers this season for the Vegas Golden Knights. It was not a great regular season for Aiden Hill. He enters this pivotal Game 5 start with a 2.71 goals against and a 909 save percentage. Those aren't terrible numbers, but with that save percentage barely above 900, it's nowhere close to what he did last year. So it's definitely a roll of the dice and a bit of a gamble here for Bruce Cassidy to make this switch now. We'll see if it pays off. As far as this game goes and the way I'm going to approach it, there's definitely a few different bets that I'm looking at here. First one is Vegas to score in the first period. This has been an angle that's been great. There's no question. You go back and look and you compile what the record is. Betting the team that lost the previous game to score in the first period has really done well. And it continues to do well in these playoffs. So you can get Vegas to score a goal in the first period at a very reasonable minus 135 at BetMGM. I like that look. Vegas to score in the first period here in Dallas. Get on the board early. As far as the full game total is concerned, we did finally, of course, see the game five or game four, I should say, go over the total 4-2. I'd probably have to lean slightly to the over because I don't trust Aiden Hill fully. And that's another reason why, if you like Vegas to jump out early and get on the board, don't take the money line. I'm worried about Aiden Hill. I'm concerned. I'm not sure it's going to be just flip the switch. We get Aiden Hill 2023 again. You know, I got to see it before I believe it. So Vegas to score in the first period, minus 135. I really do like that. It's probably my favorite bet in this game. And I already have Dallas to win the series. So I don't need to add on Dallas. I'm not betting Dallas minus 150. No chance I'm doing that because I already have them to win the series. So it's not value to me. I like Vegas to score in the first, lean to the over. But I think I might sprinkle a little bit on Dallas team total for the game. You know, I like Vegas to score in the first period. But for the game, I think I might sprinkle on this Dallas team total. I'm going to have to see it from Aiden Hill. I'm going to have to see it from Aiden Hill. Can he just go back to last year's form in the Stanley Cup playoffs on command, just like that, in this pivotal game, his first start in quite some time. So I'm going to dabble in that over 3.5 at a really nice price, by the way, plus 130. If you want to be safer, BetMGM has Dallas team total over 3 minus 145. So you do have to lay a little bit of a price, but you do get it at over three instead of over 3.5, where if they'd score exactly three goals, you're not going to lose money, you know, if you take over three minus 145. So I think what I'll do is I'll do a split bet with the team total. We'll do the 3.5 for a little bit at plus, you know, plus money, plus 110 at some spots, and a little bit on that over three minus 145, just in case Dallas gets exactly three, doesn't get more than that. So those are going to be the approaches, a little unique approach here. Vegas to score in the first, Dallas team total over 3/3.5, my main looks here in this game tonight. What do you think here, Eric? Big game five, Vegas, Dallas.
Yeah, definitely a big game. I think both teams looked good offensively last game. And like you said, I don't think Logan Thompson has been the problem for Vegas in this series. Vikings been pretty good. But I'm also looking at the over in this game, because I think both teams are generating so much chances that it's going to be, there's going to be some goals. And even if Ottinger is playing great, I'm not sure about Aiden Hill. So maybe Dallas can get some, yeah, 3-4 goals in this game. And then Vegas is, yeah, they, I think, they will score because they are a great team. And I'm also looking to bet over 1.5 in the first period. I think, yeah, like I said, both teams are generating a lot of chances, and I think they're going to come out and just go hard in this game. It's not going to be like anybody is going to wait for the other team. I think they're going to go and try to get that lead and just go with that. So yeah, I'm not taking like Vegas over a goal, because I think Dallas can make that over 1.5 by themselves. And if Vegas score in the first period, that's just a bonus for me. But yeah, going with the over in the first period and over in the game. I also looking into some players to score. And I think Roope Hintz, I think he's been a good playoff guy before. Last game he got rewarded with the empty netter, but I think he will show up tonight. And also I think you should bet on Wyatt Johnson, because he's looking really good.
Absolutely. I like how you called him Wyatt Johnson. Try to turn him into a Swedish player, but good stuff. Well, yeah, he's been great. He's been absolutely awesome for the Dallas Stars. He's one of my favorite players in the league, hands down. And he's won me a lot of money. That's a big part of it. Player
this year. Yeah. He got moved up the lineup and they moved down Pavelski's. And since then, I think he's been looking really good in this series. So, yeah, just going to roll with that for this game as well.
Yeah. By the way, was to carry on what Eric was saying about Wyatt Johnston. I'm back to the same props again. Goal, plus 210. Assist, plus 166. Point, 1 point, minus 142. And I'll sprinkle on the over 1.5 points again. For Wyatt Johnston at north of plus 300. And by the way, shots on goal. Well, you know, I don't love what I'm seeing with shots on goal props, is that I don't like that they take shots off the board. I don't like that, but you have to bet Wyatt Johnston over shots on goal tonight. It's over 3.5, plus 115. Since he got moved to the top line with Johnston, with Robertson and Hintz, Wyatt Johnston has 8 shots on goal in game 3, 6 shots on goal in game 4. Flew over his shot prop both games. Flew over it in both of those games since he's been moved up, you know, to the top line for the Dallas Stars. So you got to look at the over 3.5 for sure for Wyatt Johnston as far as shots on goal are concerned. Even consider the step up shots on goal props, because he's had 8 and 6 shots on goal the last two games. Bet over 4.5, 5.5. Plus money, get even better plus money, 6.5. Take a shot, you know, with maybe Wyatt Johnston to have another 6, 7, 8 shots on goal game. And you're going to get great plus money and a great plus price if you go a step further than just the over 3.5 and go over 4.5 shots on goal with Wyatt Johnston, over 5.5 shots on goal. So Definitely, to me, that's worth a look for sure. Hurdle going up to the top line. I'm going to have to see what his shot numbers are, because you're going to get value if he's up to the top line. Okay, he's at exactly two shots on goal, Tomas Hurdle, in five straight games for the Vegas Golden Knights. And his shot prop tonight, now it's over two plus 105 at BetVictor, over 1.5, minus, you have to lay minus 160. If you don't mind laying the juice, over 1.5, we'll see. Is he can't be on the second line, is he? I'd be shocked if they change that, if Peter changes that with how good he has played with Robertson and Hintz. But, yeah, let's see what Daily Faceoff says about the lineup. Be careful with this stuff, because there's a lot of, at this time of year, there's a lot of guesswork going on. And they seem to have Pavelski back up there with Hintz and Robertson on Daily Faceoff. But right now they still have Wyatt Johnston on the top line on RotoWire with Robertson and Hintz, which is where he's been the last two games. I still like the shots on goal prop. I definitely still think it's a good bet. He's been going over that number. I like it even more if he stays on the top line. But again, we'll wait and see. Let's wait till pregame skate, and we'll see what the lineup combos are. I have to mention what Ryan Robinson said, Matt's brother, that Joe Pavelski has not had four straight games in the playoffs without or more than four straight games in the playoffs without a point in like 5 or 6, 7 years. And he's, of course, gone without a point in this series in four games. So if you think that streak continues, maybe Joe Pavelski to score a goal or get a point here for the Dallas Stars tonight, especially if he's going to be up on that top line again, which, again, we'll have to wait and see if that's the case. Jamie Benn worth a look. For me, for Vegas, Tomas Hurdle's worth a look up on the top line. There's value with Eichel and Marchessault. Eichel shots on goal as well seems to be a good one, and any props for him. And Dorofeev, number one value to me tonight. I think this guy was put in the lineup for a reason, to score goals, to make an impact, plus 410 at FanDuel. Pavel Dorofeev as far as goal score prop. By the way, Daily Faceoff says their source is the Game 4 lineup, so I don't trust it too much. Okay, to be determined where Wyatt Johnston's going to be in the lineup. Let's just put it that way here tonight. But those are the props I like mostly in that game, so looking forward to it with Golden Knights and Stars tonight. All right, the second game of this Wednesday night slate, Los Angeles Kings, Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton looking to close this series out on home ice, minus 195 home favorites, six total here in this game. When you look at this series here with the Kings and the Oilers, you look at the LA Kings, it's going to be frustrating that they let that game slip away, unable to win, unable to, they played a great game. They had chances. They were all over Edmonton. They had the better of the play, and they lose 1-0. They get totally shut out. They just could not beat Stuart Skinner for the Edmonton Oilers in that game. He was great. And that's sometimes what the problem the LA Kings run into, is that they generate and they generate and they get their chances, they get their shots, and there's no finish. Not enough finish for the LA Kings. So they're going to have to find some finish tonight against Edmonton. And look, we talked about how long-term the run in this series, this goes back, Eric, to two, not just last year, but 2 years ago, when these teams met in the playoffs in the first round, Kings Oilers playing each other in the first round for the third straight year. This goes back the last 17 head-to-head playoff games between the Kings and the Oilers over the last 3 years. 13 overs, 4 unders. 13-4 to the over in 17 playoff games between these two teams. We finally had an under in game 4 in that 1-0 win for Edmonton. But we also had an under last year in game 3 of the Kings-Oilers series, and then we didn't see another under for the rest of the series. I'm kind of thinking history repeats itself. We got our one under, the one low-scoring, tighter-checking game in this series in game 4, that game that Stuart Skinner was awesome and led the Oilers to victory in a game where they did not play well. And now tonight, the floodgates open up again. And again, 13-4 to the over in the last 17 playoff games head-to-head between the Los Angeles Kings and the Edmonton Oilers over the last 3 years. So I'm on over bifecta. I'm going to go one step further, over trifecta here in this game. So that's over 1.5 first period, both teams to score first period, over 6 for the full game as well. Over trifecta for me here in this one. I think it opens up again. I like the fact that Edmonton didn't play great. They weren't that thrilled with their performance you know, quite honestly, in game four, even though they won the game to go up 3-1, they know they didn't generate enough. They had less than 20 shots on goal in that game, Edmonton. That's just not like them. So I like the over trifecta here in this game. I don't hate the Oilers team total over as well. I think back home, they've got the capability to score four goals tonight in this game. It's around minus 110 or so for the Edmonton team total, over 3.5. So I think that's not a bad look. Keep in mind, earlier in this series in Edmonton, seven goals and four goals for the Edmonton Oilers. The two games in Edmonton in game one and game two earlier in this series. So they scored seven in one game and they scored four goals in another. That's the approach for me. I do like that Edmonton team total over 3.5. But like I said, I like the I like that better than obviously taking the money line. I want no part of them at minus 195 on the money line. But the team total for me is the route. Edmonton puck line too, because it's an elimination game, Donnie. That's not, you could throw that into the portfolio if you like Edmonton. And I kind of think Edmonton is going to wrap it up tonight, that they get the empty net goal. And again, Kings pull the goalie early if they're down because they're facing elimination, and it's going to open the door to a chance for the margin to build. Edmonton can go ahead by two, go ahead by three, you know, if LA is going to pull the goalie multiple times. So yeah, I don't mind the puck line either on Edmonton. So that would be the looks for me. I'll probably split it up evenly between Edmonton team total over and the puck line for the Edmonton Oilers tonight. But the main bets for me are the over trifecta, the over 1.5 in the first period, both teams to score in the first period, and also over 6 for the full game. And we'll also look at a live over in the third period if it sets up as a good spot to take it. Like, let's say Edmonton's up by a goal or two with 10 minutes left in the third period. Knowing LA is going to have to pull the goalie and maybe pull the goalie earlier than normal, that would be a good live over betting situation. What happens with LA's goaltending tonight? It looks like they are going back to David Rittich in net for the second straight game. After he played well in game four, but he wasn't tested. You know, he did not face a ton of shots. So I don't know how good David Rittich was in game four, because he just didn't face many pucks. He didn't face much rubber in that game. Edmonton did not throw much at the net in game four. He's probably going to be tested a lot more, but I think they've kind of lost faith in Cam Talbot. So Jim Hiller is going back to David Rittich here for a second straight start here in game five for the Kings with their season on the line. Eric, what do you think here? Game five, LA Edmonton.
For the game, I think I'm going to play the Oilers in regulation. I think they're going to finish the game today. LA had their chance last game and they just couldn't score. And like you said, I'm not too sure about Rittich.
-115, by the way, for Edmonton in regulation. Yeah.
Yeah. Rittich, he didn't get a lot of like chances. So I'm not sure about going with him again, but when you only let in one goal, that's usually what you do. But they didn't win the game. So yeah, they still can put in Talbot, but because now he has rested one game, it's probably pretty tough games against that Oilers team for a goalie. Some really good defensive players. So yeah, for sure looking at the over, like you said, it was just a fluke that the last game was only one goal. And over first period and over in the game, and the Oilers in regulation. That's what I'm looking at in this game.
I'm also going to add one bet for LA, because LA I don't think is going to completely roll over. I just think Edmonton's a better team at this point, and their speed, especially at home, has really been a problem, you know, for the LA Kings. But I am going to take a shot with same bet that I talked about with the Vegas-Dallas game, the team that lost the previous game, score a goal in the first period. I'm going to do that with LA, minus 135, LA to score a goal in the first period. So I'm going to be on that for in this game as well. Here tonight. Yeah, the Edmonton bets, Scott, are not a parlay bet. They're all individual. So if I'm likely going to bet Edmonton team total over 3.5, Edmonton puck line, and none of those are going to be parlayed. They're all separate bets, single bets, straight bets. Nothing. You could parlay them if you want, but no, they'll all be single bets, separate bets. As far as props go, Yeah, energized as Adrian Kempe has got to be one of your top shots on goal candidates for LA. He shoots the puck a shit ton in this series. I would expect that here tonight, especially with the season on the line. His shot volume has been very high in this series. So, you know, Adrian Kempe and goal assist, any point prop you can find as well. Now, he only had two shots, and there was a low event game the last game. But prior to that, he had 4, 7, and 5 shots on goal in the first three games of this series. So, yeah, Adrian Kempe is probably the best look for a shot prop for LA here tonight in this game. For Edmonton, look, Evander Kane, you know, has been someone that's been moved up the lineup and it's paid dividends, and he's been shooting the puck a bit more lately, playing with Dreisaitl and Nugent Hopkins. Zach Hyman, it goes without saying, you know, you can never say any night is a bad night to bet his props. McDavid, Henrique, you know, Henrique is someone I wouldn't sleep on. He's still on the top line. He didn't do a lot offensively in LA, but in the two games in Edmonton, he got 2 points. So, Adam Henrique possibly worth a look. This is a spot, too, where you could look at some of these depth forwards for Edmonton, probably to be a little more impactful at home as opposed to on the road. Take a shot with a Corey Perry. Take a shot with a Dylan Holloway, you know, who has scored a couple of goals already in this series for the Oilers. So there's definitely some looks you could take here for Edmonton. Yeah, Holloway, it was a game two where he had the two-goal game. Against the LA Kings. You're going to trust anyone for LA. Kempe, there's value. Kopitar, Byfield, Moore, and Arvidsson. There's five that I think, you know, you got to get something offensively from them here tonight if you're the LA Kings, if you're going to wrap up this series, or if you're going to extend this series, I should say, to a sixth game. Was there any props you liked in that game, Eric, or no?
I think I'm going to play Kempe goal anytime. I just looked up a tweet that it was like from the, I think it was from the second game, because it's 6 days ago when he scored that hand-eye goal. The tweet said he had 18 points in 15 games against the Oilers in the playoffs, the last three playoffs they played against them. So, yeah, he's... He's been like really hot against the Oilers, and I think if somebody's gonna score or have points, it's gonna be Kempe, Arvidsson, Kopitar, Moore, or Byfield.
Yeah. There's another one that's been shooting the puck too, Moore.
Yeah.
For Los Angeles, Trevor Moore has definitely been someone that's been ramping up shot volume for them. What has he had? He had 5 shots on goal in the last game, 4 the game before that. So maybe Trevor Moore, there's another shot candidate here tonight, maybe for the LA. And they got to throw everything at the net, and you got to think so. Backs against the wall, there's no tomorrow.
And you can maybe try with some depth guys from Oilers if we think they're going to win. And if they're pull the goalie, you can get some empty netters from bottom guys, Corey Perry, Warren Fogle, maybe. So take a shot with those guys as well in this game, because like I said earlier, I think Oilers going to finish this today. But if they're
and in a game where, you know, there could be an empty net goal or two for Edmonton late, if they're in the position to try to put the series away, that's where it's a game like this where you want to maybe take a few more down the board shots with goal props for the Edmonton Oilers, that a Holloway or a Perry or a McLeod or a Fogle, you know, can score goals for them possibly in a closeout game like this. Awesome stuff. Another great job today by Eric Della Rose on the show. Shout out to everyone in the chat watching and listening on the podcast as well. Hit the like button. Make sure you sign up patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. Again, access to our Patreon exclusive live betcasts. The schedule for May, as far as the betcast, will be announced soon. Looking forward to it. But starting next week, we'll have more betcasts during the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Patreon exclusive ones. You have to be a member, so sign up. You'll get our daily sides totals and player props posted on the page each and every day as a Patreon member, bonus content, goalie charts, totals charts, and more. Patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month, and your subscription goes a long way to supporting the show. Patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And make sure you check out the store, the Ice Guys store. Get your gear and your merch at iceguys.myspreadshop.com. BetOnline.com. All right, we got bargain bin special of the night and best bets coming up in just a moment, right after we hear from our great sponsors.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. I guess for Eric, just a refresher that it's plus 300 or better. What your favorite player prop of a bigger price, the bargain bin price is like, as we call it. What do you like, Eric? Have you found anything for your bargain bin special tonight?
Yes, I have. I didn't mention it during the show because I wanted to save it for now. But I think Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to score a goal is a good bargain for tonight. Also playing probably on the ice when if the Kings are chasing a goal at the end. And I think he's been looking good on that power play, and he has a lot of assists, so maybe he will score tonight.
All right, there we go. I like it. The Nuge, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, plus 310 is what you can find on that for him to score a goal. That's Eric De La Rose with his bargain bin special of the night for this Wednesday slate. My bargain bin special of the night for this slate here. A lot of interesting choices. I'm trying to see what the current lineup configuration is right now for the Stars and for the Golden Knights. You know what I'm going to roll with here? I think it's a good one. He's in the lineup to score. They need a spark. They need to obviously turn things around a little bit after losing two games at home here in Game 5 tonight back in Dallas. He's put in the lineup to score, and scores what this guy did a lot down the stretch for the Vegas Golden Knights. Pavel Dorofeev for the Vegas Golden Knights. Plus 410, we're going to go with that for my bargain bin special of the night for this Wednesday NHL slate. Pavel Dorofeev back in the lineup, back on the scoreboard tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights. All right, best bets. Eric, what do you like for best bet tonight?
My best bet tonight is the over in the first period of the Golden Knights and the Stars game. So I'm taking that as my best bet.
All right, good stuff. Vegas, Dallas, over 1.5 in the first period. Best bet for Eric De La Rose. Again, that is around minus 115, so a good price with that. My best bet for this one, I'm just going to go full game over with LA Edmonton. Over 6, minus 120. I think it gets over the total. Probably a lot of goals in the third period, especially if Edmonton's up. I think it's just it's one of those games that'll open up again, just like the first two games in Edmonton did. So Kings Oilers over 6, for my best bet. All right, that'll wrap up this edition of the Ice Guys. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Another great job by Eric De La Rose. Hit the like button on the way out. We appreciate it very much. Eric, great job again.
Thank you.
All right, a reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. For Eric De La Rose, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Wednesday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we'll be back with you tomorrow on Thursday for another edition of the Ice Guys.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.